Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of kings on earth. Our text for this morning is a portion of the gospel reading and one additional verse. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. This is our text. You may be seated. Dear Saints, last week we dealt with a Greek word, trying to translate it. The end of the phrase, in my Father's house are many mansions, rooms, homes, whatever you like. Today there's another fun Greek word to talk about. Often we don't even translate it. Sometimes we just transliterate it into English, and the word is paraclete. In our ESV translation that we read, the word is translated as helper. Sometimes it's translated advocate, or counselor, or strengthener, or as always in good old King James, comforter. The difficulty is that the Holy Spirit does all of these things, and it's hard to pin down one English word that encompasses all of this work. But today we want to consider the work of the Holy Spirit as comforter. As we mentioned last week, Jesus is telling his disciples that he is leaving them. First, leaving them in death, but then at the resurrection they would see him again and they would recognize him, in order that they would then be able to witness to his death and resurrection, even though the world would not really see him. Then he is leaving again, ascending into heaven, the ascension which the church celebrates on Thursday. And that is the state in which we find ourselves in. Jesus ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, in power and glory, ruling the nations. But the point is that Jesus would not be with them in the same purely physical way that he was before. They wouldn't be able to just chat him up as they were walking along. But Jesus promises to send to them another comforter. Now make no mistake, Jesus is still with us after the ascension, as he was with his disciples. We gathered here together are the body of Christ. We receive his body and blood from the altar. St. Paul tells us that Christ in his body is filling all things. But somehow, the Holy Spirit is replacing this role that Jesus had in being present with his disciples in his word, walking, talking with them as we might with one another. But they shouldn't fear. The Spirit of truth will fill that void. Now, how is it that Jesus was their comforter? Remember, Jesus says, I'm going to send you not a comforter, but another comforter. Jesus was already doing what the Holy Spirit was to do, but how? Well, think about it. Anytime the disciples had a spiritual or theological question, anytime they were in despair or they were afraid or they couldn't figure out what Jesus was talking about, he was right there and they could just ask him. After all, he is the Word of God incarnate. The Word of God was right here, right in front of them for 3 years. They could ask him whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted. They didn't always understand his answer, mind you. He was there to teach them, to explain the kingdom of God to them, to show them the Father. If they were afraid, he would comfort them with words of peace. If they were in despair over sin, he would comfort them with words of forgiveness. If their pride was getting the better of them and they decided they needed to figure out who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus was there with a word of rebuke in order to comfort them by turning their attention back to him. But now he wasn't going to be there. Wasn't going to be there to answer every question. But he was sending another comforter, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says of the Spirit of truth, "He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." The Holy Spirit would now comfort these disciples, would speak God's word to them, just as Jesus had done. And the same is true for us. Until Christ returns in glory and we behold him with these eyes of flesh, we experience Jesus through his word that the Spirit proclaims to us. The Spirit works faith in us to see Jesus with eyes of faith. How? Jesus spoke God's word, and the Spirit speaks God's word. The Spirit spoke into the hearts and the minds of the prophets and the apostles. They wrote down God's word as inspired by the Holy Spirit. God preserved that word through the centuries, and whenever you hear that Spirit-filled word, you hear God speaking to you. When you read, when you hear it read, when you hear it proclaimed, God is literally talking to you. Consider Jesus' words at the beginning of our gospel reading. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Now, we do all kinds of gymnastics with those words in our head, I think. I think we hear them like, "You only love me when you obey all the rules." But Jesus doesn't say it like that, and we need the Holy Spirit to teach us what Jesus means. Jesus simply says, "Those who love me, they will keep my commandments." It's a matter of fact. That is simply what Christians do. We Christians, those who love God because God first loved us, according to Christ's death for our sin, his righteousness placed upon us in baptism, we have kept all the commandments. When God the Father in heaven looks down upon you, what does he see? He sees the righteousness of Christ, which you have been clothed in. And now our new converted wills, converted by the Holy Spirit, desire to seek and to do the things of God that God says is right. But this phrase, "keep my commandments," is even much broader than that. The word is not obey. There is a different word for obey, but to keep, to guard, to hold fast. And commandments, the word there includes all of God's precepts, all of God's word, including the promises of the gospel. It's as if Jesus is saying, "My people will hold fast to my word. They will keep it in front of their eyes. They will keep it coming into their ears. They will keep my word in their hearts, because that is how I will be with them. That is how the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will continue to do my work in my people." This is simply what the Christian life looks like. Before, they just had Jesus to tell them the commandments. They had Jesus to tell them the word. They had Jesus to keep them on the straight and narrow when they would wander off. But now the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, would do that work. The Spirit would never leave them. He never leaves us. He lives within us. And the Spirit brings to mind all the words of Jesus and the words of law and the words of comfort in the gospel, including the promises we heard right in our gospel reading this morning. The Spirit reminds us that Jesus said he will never leave us as orphans. The Spirit reminds us that because Jesus lives, we live. The Spirit reminds us that Jesus is in us and we are in him. The Spirit reminds us that because Jesus first loved us, we now love him. Or consider our first reading. Paul is in Athens. And he finds himself among a great number of ungodly people, many of whom have no idea who the true God is, or what sin is, or what idolatry is. That is an uncomfortable situation for any Christian to be in, as many of you likely well know. from just going to work. But what does Paul do? Does he worry about what people will think of him? Does he hide his love for Jesus? No, he keeps God's word. He has heard it and had it held in front of his face so often that it just comes out of him. He boldly and confesses who Jesus is and what he has done by the power of the Comforter. The Comforter has convinced Paul that no matter what, as long as Paul is faithful to the word, God's will is done. The Comforter has removed all fear from Paul and given him boldness. I dare say Athens is like America. There are many competing and false ideas about who God is. There are many idols being worshipped by your friends, your co-workers, your neighbors, maybe even family members. Maybe even we succumb to that temptation from time to time. And it is easy to be timid in the face of such opposition. But you have the words of Jesus that the Comforter gives you. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Praise be to God that the Comforter is constantly bombarding us with the words of Jesus. When you are fretting and anxious over the chaos of this life, the Comforter reminds you that Jesus says, "My peace I give to you." When worry sets in about having the necessities for this life, the Comforter tells you, "Your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all." When you are bent over in sorrow and agony over death, the Comforter reminds you, "Death is swallowed up in victory." When you are anxious about your own death, the Comforter says, "You have passed from death to life." When you are lost in pride and self-arrogance and self-righteousness, the Comforter keeps the word of God's law in front of your eyes and tells you, "Repent and believe the gospel." When you are in despair over your sin, the Comforter tells you, "By grace you have been saved through faith. And as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your sin from you." And that Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." When you doubt your own salvation, the Comforter says, "Baptism now saves you." All the words of God that the Comforter speaks are true because they are Jesus' own words to his dear beloved children. And the words give Jesus to you. And dear Christian, no one can take that comfort from you. As the hymn writer Martin Luther put it, "Now to my Father I depart, from earth to heaven ascending, and heavenly wisdom to impart, the Holy Spirit sending. In trouble he will comfort you, and teach you always to be true, and into truth shall guide you." Christ is risen. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.